like Sherman's bitter, brutal march that went straight through Georgia at the end of the Civil War, a march that set the stage, in good and bad ways, for what the next century would be like, anticipating the upheaval of Reconstruction, the Civil Rights Movement, which in many ways began down here in Atlanta and in Georgia, the Reagan Republican Revolution, which had important roots here, as did the first inklings of the rebirth of the Industrial South. Nope. You can't get to the 21st century in America without following a path through the great state of Georgia. And let's get right to it. Welcome our first guest, the senior senator from Georgia, Saxby Chambliss. Senator, welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. Good to be with you, and thanks for being in Atlanta.
Absolutely. Greetings from all your friends down here. Senator Chambliss, you are the vice chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. My first question relates to the news of Edward Snowden apparently getting political asylum or asylum of some kind in Russia, bearing in mind the sentence for Private Manning this week. How do you regard Edward Snowden right now?
Well, I'm a little bit surprised that that Russia is being as receptive to asylum for Snowden as apparently they may be. It will certainly damage our already tenuous relationship with the Russians. You've got the president going to the G8 meeting and in Russia in September, and I suspect it will be a very frosty meeting if, in fact, Snowden is granted any sort of asylum in Russia. What they need to do is what we would do, send him back to where he came from and let justice take its normal course. But so far, obviously, we haven't seen that.
Well, Snowden has certainly produced some frost, interesting choice of words, in the U.S.-Russian relationship. It's also changed the debate about the National Security Agency, the NSA, on Capitol Hill, and particularly in your committee and in the Judiciary Committee. How would you assess the sense of backlash among lawmakers for what the NSA now reportedly does online, watching us all?
I think that lawmakers are starting to understand more and more every day, John, that what Mr. Snowden has alleged that he can do, he simply can't do. When he said that he could sit at a computer and access your email, read all your emails if he knew your address, he couldn't do that. That he could listen to your phone calls if he knew your cell phone number, there's no way he could do that. This program has been in existence for several years now, and it's provided valuable information with respect to the disruption of terrorist attacks. It's gathering what we call metadata, which is kind of a strange-sounding word, but the program simply gathers information that can only be accessed, John, with a court order and under what we call a reasonable, articulable suspicion that the individual who uses that telephone number is a terrorist. And it's only that that data is not shared across the government. It is stored and is accessed only by NSA and only under court supervision, under DOJ supervision, as well as under Senate Select Committee on Intelligence and House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence oversight. So I think our members are understanding it a little bit more because, frankly, I thought the Amash Amendment last week was probably going to prevail. But at the end of the day, it didn't because the folks, I think, are starting to understand that we have disrupted terrorist attacks against the United States over 50 times, 13 of which have been inside the United States by utilization of this program. And it doesn't invade folks' privacy. It doesn't invade their space. It's simply the collection of data that is accessed only in times when a terrorist attack may be in the works.
Although, Senator, we suspect that the House will go back at the NSA at some point, and the Judiciary Committee is taking a look at the NSA. Members of your committee will be meeting with folks at the White House. Is there any sense in which you believe that, regardless of your sort of general authorization for what the NSA has done, that there's been an abuse of the Fourth Amendment? Would you change anything about what's being done?
Well, I'm so familiar with this program because we've been briefed on it over the years, both as a member of the committee and now over the last 3 years as a vice chairman. I'm briefed on it regularly, and I know what the program does. And we are meeting at the White House this afternoon and with other members of the intelligence community to look at some transparency that we can put into the program now that it's not a secret or covert program. Perhaps we can make some changes to it that will be an improvement to the program. But the one thing we have to make sure of is that we don't eliminate the program as the Amash Amendment would have done. And there are reasonable changes in most every program that we operate here in the federal government, whether they're at NSA or at the SEC. We constantly review the programs and make necessary changes, and that's what we're going to do with this program. And perhaps we do need to make it more transparent so people can better understand that their privacy is not being invaded and that the program is valuable and the program works to disrupt terrorist activity.
As a senior Republican in the Senate and someone known for bipartisanship, let me ask you, and also someone who's known for discretion, let me push you on this. The X Key Score program, which was published in 32 pages of Snowden's leaked documents by The Guardian and is now widely available, really seems to show that the NSA has a digital tool that allows it to do almost anything in terms of monitoring people's browsing. Did you learn of the X Key Score program from The Guardian, from Edward Snowden, or from a briefing in the Intelligence Committee?
No, I've known about the X Key Score program. Again, it's a very sensitive program, and therefore it's well known to the intelligence committees. And again, we monitor that program. But that program is not as portrayed by The Guardian, and I assume they're getting their information from both from Snowden as well as from the documents. And if you examine the documents that have been published, it doesn't pretend to allow access to private phone numbers or private emails in the way that Mr. Snowden and the Guardian article portrays it to be. So, you know, it is a program that is not utilized in a way like the 215 program and the 702 program that we previously have talked about. But again, it's been a valuable tool for us, and now bad guys know how we can access their information. They're changing their ways. It's going to be harder for us to interrupt and disrupt terrorist activity because of these revelations. But the revelations themselves, I think, validate the fact, when you really dig down into the weeds of it, that we're not invading anyone's privacy and that we don't have the capability of looking at personal emails or listening in on personal calls.
We're talking with Republican Senator Saxby Chambliss of Georgia. Let's shift gears for a moment here. Someone you know well, a columnist in Atlanta, Jim Galloway, suggests that as a retiring two-term senator, your views, your sense of leadership in the Senate is really absent from the Republican primary field. Seven Republicans who appear to be chasing an increasingly right-wing and fringe constituency. Has the GOP in Georgia given up on centrism and bipartisanship, in your view?
Well, I certainly hope not, because whoever takes my place, and at the end of the day, John, I'm confident that the best candidate will prevail. Whoever that is going to find out right quick that the way you get things done in the Senate is to work across the aisle to get the 60 votes you need to engage with not only conservative Republicans, but with Democrats, too, to try to solve problems. Our country's got just a myriad of issues that are staring us in the face, and you're not going to solve them with just Republican ideas, particularly when we're in the minority, and that we don't have a patent on all the good ideas. So I think the Senate tends to moderate people somewhat, and I just hope that all of the Republican candidates just don't dig their heels in and back themselves into a corner where they get to a point that they cannot be reasonable and cannot reach across the aisle, and I don't think that will happen.
And end up turning Georgia into a blue state by 2016.
Well, it could. Absolutely.
Well, there's some news. There's some news. Senator Saxby Chambliss, thanks so much.
Okay, good to be with you, John.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.